contributing to our message today from James 2, if you've got a Bible. Thank you.
If you have a Bible, we are in James chapter 2. The saga, the ongoing saga of the book of James, a book from which one should never preach. Dangerous things happen when you start preaching on James. Do you remember the first chapter of James? The first week we looked at trials, and then there were all those trials that came up, different people, different things. Then we looked at temptation, and suddenly everyone has all these temptations popping up. Well, now we've gone on to chapter 2, and I'm going to challenge you again. Crikey, look out. Because the theme of chapter 2 is immature people talk about their faith, mature people live their faith. Immature people talk about faith, mature people live their faith. Hearing God's word and talking about God's word are never a substitute for doing God's word. One more time. Hearing God's word and speaking about God's word are never a substitute for doing God's word. And that was what James said right at the end of James chapter 1. Now he's come on to chapter 2 and he's starting to say, now what does that look like? What does it mean? How do we live that out? How do we do these things in practice? Well, James sets up a theoretical scene. He is, in essence, he sends two different people to a church service. One of them is dressed in a suit, has all kinds of posh rings and flashy hat and gold accessories, and he's well-groomed. Smells like, what, Chanel? Shall we go with Chanel? You know, someone really clean and sparkly. Yeah, you know those kind of people. Do you know anyone like that? I don't know many of them. Sorry. Mothballs. His suit's in mothballs. Yeah. Well, that's one of the people that comes into this theoretical church service. The other one comes in a little bit smelly, a little bit dirty, nothing quite right in his appearance, doesn't smell of any Chanels or Paco Rabanne's or any of those posh aftershave, probably smells a little bit more like, I don't know, the bin round the back. I'm not sure what this person smelled like, but it wasn't good. And this is what's in James' head, James's head when he starts in chapter 2. He says, if I send you one person who looks really good and smells really good and behaves really nicely and everything is perfect with them on the outside, and I send you another person who doesn't look good or smell good and doesn't behave well on the outside, how will you treat these two people? And chapter 2 is where he explores the reaction of these Christian believers in James to these two different people. But he does it through a filter of doctrine. He does it through the filter specifically of four different doctrines. The first one is the deity of Christ. He says, we treat people in a certain way because Jesus, who is God, treated them in that way. So that's the first doctrine that he talks about. The second one is the grace of God. We deal with people based on the grace of God, whether we have received the grace of God or not, and whether they can receive the grace of God or not, and how they can receive the grace of God. So the deity of Christ, the grace of God, and then the word of God, the Bible, the word of God. The word of God says or does this, and therefore that's how we ought to treat people. And the third one is judgment, the judgment of God, the fourth one, sorry. So that's four different Christian doctrines that James uses to give his response to how we ought to treat people. So the first one, from verses 1 to 4 of what Linda read for us earlier, it says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the full title of Jesus. Not just Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is all of that about? The Lord is talking about Jesus as God. He's the Lord of creation. Jesus is talking about him as Savior, the one who came and was a man and was a human being and lived and died. And Christ is talking about him as Messiah. Remember that the book of James was written to the Jews, so it was important, the Christ part was important for them. He's not only the Lord Jesus Christ, though. James goes further and he says he is the Lord of glory. Jesus is the Lord of glory. Now, if this Jesus, who is the Lord of glory, treats people in a certain way, that's how we ought to treat them too. All right? He says, and that Lord Jesus Christ, that Lord of glory, is not someone who deals in partiality. He is impartial. He is like the umpire in the Cricket World Cup. Impartial. Not from either country who's playing, but from a third country. Like the referee in the Women's World Cup. Are you watching sport at the moment, or am I alone? Nobody. Hopeless. Hopeless. The Women's World Cup and the Cricket World Cup are both amazing, fantastic. But the referee has to be impartial. And that's what James is talking about here. Jesus treated people impartially, and that's how we have to treat them too. He was he began by saying this whole process of not showing favoritism is something that Jesus talked about a lot. Do you remember all the parables where he talked to the Pharisees and the scribes and he said, don't be partial, don't treat this one nicely and that one badly. He talked about being dead men's sepulchres full of dead men's bones, didn't he? White on the outside, but rubbish on the inside. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, seven times. That phrase, seven times. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. He said in verses 2 to 3 of that chapter, Matthew 23, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. This is Jesus talking to the ordinary people, saying the Jewish leaders, you know, they're leading, you know, they have a place of leadership, but don't listen to what they do listen to their words, but don't look at what they do and follow that example, because they preach but they do not practice. Burn, as the kids would say. So we have the same problem today that was going on in James's church. People were trying to look impressive on the outside, but were not so great on the inside. Sometimes Christians behave in a way that non-Christians find impenetrable, incomprehensible, and we need to be careful of that. So Jesus was God, and Jesus did not respect persons. He didn't say, this person's a company director, I'm going to be nice to him. That person's homeless, and I'm not going to be nice to him. This person has her own business, so I'm going to be nice to her. And that person, she's only a cleaner, not going to be nice to her. Jesus didn't do that. The people said about Jesus, you aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. You're not swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Because Jesus didn't look on the outward appearance. He wasn't impressed with riches or with social status. Remember the poor widow who gave the mite was more impressive to Jesus than the Pharisee who gave a fortune. Jesus looked at people and he didn't see what was in front of him. He saw the potential that they had very often. He saw the potential in the lives of sinners. He looked at Simon and he said, "You're going to be a rock." Wow. Movable, unstable, loud, impetuous Simon. "You're going to be a rock," he said. Matthew was a publican, a tax collector, and in him he saw a faithful disciple who would one day write the longest of the four Gospels. The disciples were astonished when they saw Jesus talking to the woman at the well, but Jesus looked at her and said, "There's going to be a really big harvest because of you, because of this conversation here." He saw the potential. He didn't see the person, he saw the potential in the person. We are prone to judge people by their past rather than by their future, aren't we? When Saul of Tarsus, do you know Saul of Tarsus? Yeah, Paul. Changed his name a bit later. Saul of Tarsus, he was converted, and the church in Jerusalem was terrified because he'd been persecuting the church for so long. So they didn't want to accept him into the church. They didn't trust him. And it was only later that Barnabas spoke up and said, "No, he's okay. You can accept him into the church." Because they looked at his past, didn't realize his potential. We're also prone to judge by the outer appearance rather than the heart. We don't enjoy sitting with some people in church because they're not our kind of people. Jesus, though, was the friend of sinners. He was the friend of sinners. And when I was reading one commentary this week, it says he disapproved of their sin, but he was a friend of sinners. I've never known a situation where you can be someone's friend, proper friend, and disapprove of them. Now, I know Jesus would never have approved of their sin. He would have never have encouraged their sin. But I do believe that Jesus wouldn't have sat next to people and been a friend with an attitude of disapproval. And that's something that we often fail on. That whole thing, love the sinner, hate the sin, causes an attitude of disapproval. And if we disapprove of someone, we can't properly be their friend. So there's something for you to chew on this week. Did Jesus really disapprove of sinners or their sin? Disapprove? Was it a different word? Did he recognize their sin, but look beyond their sin to the person? There's something for you to think about. It wasn't compromise that Jesus was doing, but it was compassion that he was involved with. And it was that compassion that caused him to welcome sinners, and when they trusted him, to forgive them. Well, Jesus was not partial. But he was later despised and rejected, as we know. He was the poor man. He became the poor man of Isaiah 53. He was rejected by the self-righteous nation. He didn't have a home like the foxes and the birds. All of these things you know about Jesus. He grew up in Nazareth. No good thing ever came out of Nazareth, is what they said. They say a similar thing about Scarborough, I believe. No good thing ever came out of Scarborough. Do you believe that? Nah, we're goods. If, though, you and I had met Jesus while he was on earth, what would we have thought of him? Ooh. Would you have looked at him and thought, "Wow, the Messiah"? Or would you have looked at him and thought, "Blimey, he's got dusty shoes. Need to get a bit of polish on those. Crikey, when did he last have a bath? No home. Oh, doesn't anyone own him? Hasn't brushed his hair? Hasn't ironed his cloak?" Would we have looked at the outward appearance of Jesus, or would we have been able to look beyond? Well, look, the Bible says he is the glory of God. The glory of God. So we need to learn, as he did, not only to look at the outward appearance, but to look beyond it. See the potential and see the heart. How do you